Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. How fantastic. Here we are entering the promised land. And who's leading us? None other than Joshua, which in the Hebrew is Yahshua, which is Jesus translated into the Greek, meaning a type of Savior. Moses didn't quite make it because of striking the stone twice, but here Joshua is leading on. But who's really doing it? Our Father is. Our Heavenly Father. Told Him, I'll be with you. You do it my way. I will lead you. I will put everything in thine hand. And gave Him step by step. But remember, who led the charge across the Jordan? The priests did. With the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, right there, took her right out into the Jordan, and God stopped the water. God can perform miracles. Don't ever doubt Him. And they picked up these 12 stones as a memorial of the occasion, and meaning one for each of the tribes that crossed over. So having said that, let's pick it up in chapter 4, verse 11, as they continue on to the west side of Jordan. Verse 11 of chapter 4, and it reads, And it came to pass, when all the people, how many of them? All the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. They let it be known what held that water back. Almighty God did, but His priests, the Levites, being present as the markers thereof. Verse 12, And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed, that means by five in the Hebrew, before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. In other words, Reuben and Gad and half of the tribe of Manasseh were going to settle on the east side of Jordan, and the other tribes helped them conquer their land. So now they are marshaling, as God insisted, to help the others conquer their land and all find rest, okay, as they enter the promised land. It would be a good idea for you to remember how the promised land was entered, okay? Every move spoken by our Heavenly Father, okay? Verse 13, about 40,000 prepared for war, passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. That's quite an army they've got going there, okay? They were all ready, they were armed and ready for battle. Verse 14. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses. Translate that, revered. They loved Moses and they loved Joshua. The word in the Hebrew will translate either way, either feared or revered. And that's how close the emotions and the passion runs with that. But they, you know and I know, they loved Moses and they loved Joshua. Why? He was leading them, doing a good job. He was their go-between themselves and Almighty God. All the days of his life, it would continue. Joshua was one of the two original spies that Moses had sent over into the promised land that came back and said, it's clear, like God said, let's go. But the rest were a bunch of wimps and wouldn't go, so that whole generation had to die off in the wilderness before they could go over. And who should lead them but one of the brave ones that went over and led the way and said, let's take the land. But it had to be that generation. There's such a thing with Almighty God, and you better make a note of it, as one day too late. Verse 15, And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Verse 16, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. In other words, everybody's over. It's all done. Now, again, I want to back up to one verse there. Who magnified Joshua? God did. God's in charge. God brought that love from the people because of his assistance to Joshua 17. What I'm saying is always give God the credit. Okay. 17, Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, "Come ye up out of the Jordan." 18, and it came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. It was that time of the year that the floods took place. We didn't dry up an intermittent stream. It was overflowing. It was flooding. God still performed the miracle. He did it so you would remember that today. You know, you want to think for a moment. What if, when we relate this into entering the promised land of the millennium age, what is the flood of that time? And God's going to stop that flood. Just as he stopped that flood of Jordan. The flood comes out of Satan's mouth. Revelation chapter 12. Satan goes after Mother Israel and all the Christians with a flood of water coming from it. A flood of lies is what it is. And that flood shall come, but God shall stop it, utilizing God's election. So you want to remember this, the analogy and the type of how the land was entered and what the real in-depth meaning was. Okay? Verse 19, listen carefully. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. You think about that. The 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. Gilgal means wheel or rolling, and we'll explain in the next chapter why. Okay, but now it's important that you understand this date. Do you remember what happened 40 years before this on the 10th of the first month? Remember it? You'll find it back in, you're not going to have it. I'm going to just read it to you. You'll have it in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Listen to it carefully. Way back before even the Passover came and the death angel passed over Israel. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel," I'm reading from Exodus 12, verse 3, "saying, in the 10th day of the month, of this month," which was the first month, "they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." So, 40 years later, as they marked that day, I don't know. I guess what I want to ask is, in the similitude, you're supposed to pick a lamb. What lamb are you going to choose? It's very important, beloved. As you enter the promised land, there's two lambs. There's a fake and there's the true. Which are you going to choose? You sure don't want to follow the fake lamb, who's none other than the Antichrist. You want to choose the right lamb, and that lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. He is the true Yeshua. He is the true Joshua, if you want to say it that way. He is the true Savior. What does 40 mean? Why 40 years? Probation. And the fact that one generation waited one day too long, don't mess with our father. This is why he declared in Jeremiah chapter 4, along about the 18th verse, he said, "Don't mess with me. I'm telling you, get your act together, because I destroyed this earth in the first earth age. I didn't leave one soul. So don't mess with me." Our Father is long-suffering. He's got lots of patience. But you can overdo it with Him. Don't ever forget that. So choose a lamb. That's what this 40th year was symbolic of. And naturally, for you that are not familiar with the solar calendar, the solar calendar, the first month begins at the spring equinox. Because we're children of light, you go by the solar. And on the 14th day, that evening begins Passover, the Passover. Okay, so they have 4 days here to, within which to choose a lamb. Beginning then, and then it will be Passover again, which they'll have to remember. Verse 20, to continue back in the fourth chapter of the great book of Joshua, 20 reads, "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal." Put them right there. That's 12. That's one for each of the 12 tribes. 21. And I would like for you to know God doesn't show any partiality to tribes. Okay, all of them are equal. Even though one of them is the Levitical priesthood and each tribe gets their portion of that Levitical priesthood, God still shows no partiality. He's not a respecter of persons. It's their job. Okay. Verse 21, "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Question. 22, Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. It was a miracle performed by Almighty God, and it happened. 23, For the Lord your God dried up, I repeat, dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." That would be 40 years, a little longer, closer, before, when he freed the children of Israel from that time. God delivered them. Do you know something? He's going to deliver us again. Those that love the Lord through the Son. He's going to deliver us again. You don't even have to worry about it. You can get a little uptight about the way the world's going on, but mark time. You know, there comes a time when an army is marching that you forward march, and then there's a time when you mark time. In place, ready, still armed, still ready to go. We don't back up. We may go oblique, and we may march in time. And we're going to always move forward. Why? Because God's on our side. Our Father leads and he guides us. It is his promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And that deliverance is going to take place. That's why he named the Son Yahshua, the same as the title of this book, Joshua, which translates the same in the Hebrew tongue. There are no J's in the Hebrew alphabet. The J is placed there for an English translation. The Hebrew is Yah. Yeshua. Okay. Many of our modern day languages, if you listen closely, certain languages drop the J also. If you were to say Julie in the English tongue, you would say Uli in that tongue. Okay. Verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. What was the reason that all the people of the earth would know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty? That you might fear or revere the Lord your God forever. And so it is. He's the same yesterday, he is today, and he shall be forever. And do you know something? He that is able to perform these miracles, I mean, stopping that River Jordan, parting the Red Sea, delivering the children, he loves you. I said, as an individual, he knows you. He created your very being. He brought you into existence, your soul. He made it different than anyone else's. Why? Because he loves you. And he created you for his pleasure. And what a Father we have, and what a hand he has, and it is mighty. And ultimately, when the race is run, I can tell you right now, it'll be a happy day. We have the victory And the losers are those that go against God's children. God doesn't like people to mess with his election. God doesn't like for people to mess with his children that love him, that believe him, that follow him. And he takes care of business. Chapter 5, verse 1, and it reads, "And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan," that'd be the west side, "and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, and their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel." Do you know why this is? It started way back. Rahab is the one that first told us how that would be. It happened way back in the prior book, Deuteronomy, way back in chapter 2, in verse 25, when God said, way back before they ever started, he said, "This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee." Why? Because God's with us. We will always control our gates. That's the way it is. When those 12 tribes, with 2 behind, 10 coming across the Caucasus Mountains, settling Europe, many of them later moving to this nation, there's a reason we're a Christian nation. Though a lot of people see Christianity slipping away, they're trying to remove the Word of God from various things. You know, this broadcast is piped into more penal institutes than I think about any other channel. And I thank God for that. You're not going to remove the Word of God. You may take the book out, but the Word's still going to be taught there. And I thank our Father for that privilege and that responsibility that we have that hand. God is in control. So God prepared this field in the minds of these people that he's going to give them into the hand of Joshua. Verse 2. Back in the 5th chapter of Joshua. "At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time." Now, I want to make very clear that you understand he's not talking about circumcising certain individuals a second time, but all the time they wandered in the wilderness, those that were circumcised, except for the adults at that time, the believers, are dead and gone. But all that were born during that time are uncircumcised. Even while they were eating the manna from heaven and the quail prepared by the Father, they weren't circumcised. They didn't obey that law was not required at that time. But God intends, and I want to insert again that you understand the manuscripts. Circumcision for spiritual reasons is no longer necessary. You do not need to be circumcised for spiritual reasons. Now, I know some are going to say, "Pastor Murray said you shouldn't be circumcised." That's not what I said. You shouldn't do it for spiritual reasons. It's for hygiene or for this, that you want it done, fine. But because we're under Christ's blood, all blood ordinances were done away with. Circumcision now is of the heart or the mind, and it is for both male and female. Okay. I want to make that real clear. After the crucifixion. So, again, the statement, for spiritual reasons, it is unnecessary at this time. Next verse as we go on, verse 3. "And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins." That's why they named it that, because that's where it took place. And again, I want to tell you, there was no one circumcised that had already been. Okay, it was just those that hadn't been before. "And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. 5. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. So they were the ones that were circumcised. Got it? Okay, no second times. Verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed. Why were they? Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that flowed with milk and honey. One day too long at Barnea Kadesh. Too late, too bad, too late, so sad. You know, as you're entering the promised land, you want to know, if you choose the wrong lamb, you're not going to make it. Okay. If you're not real careful, we've got the millennium where we have the second resurrection. And many are simply deceived past the point because they are ignorant of God's word. Is that an excuse? Well, God considers it innocency if you don't know any better. And it's kind of like, well, are you saying there's a second chance? No, I'm not. There is no such thing as a second chance. It's just they didn't have a chance coming out the gate with what is commonly taught in this world, unfortunately. So you want to make sure. Our Father, there comes that time, that day, that he considers final. So you want to be careful as you follow our Father. I think probably this lets you know, this is why you don't want to worry too much about people that go absolutely against God's word. We're not going to have to put up with them much longer. You know something? They're just not going to be around. One day too late. Don't have to put up with it. And you know, it's real easy to say as a believing Christian, good riddance. The world will be a lot better place. But it is Christian instinct to want to save as many as we can by teaching what happens if you don't listen to your Father. How strong is his hand? It's a mighty hand. It's going to happen his way. Satan hadn't got a prayer of a chance. If you're thinking about following him, you're a dead man walking. Hasn't got a prayer. Our Father is in control. Our Father is in charge. And don't ever let that one day go by too far with you. Many are so handy at putting things off. What would you have done if Christ had said the day it came time for crucifixion, well, I just think I'll put this off another day? It would have been one day too late. Then it would not have been Passover. And he was the Passover lamb. He did not whimp. So when it comes to serving God, get your back up a little bit. And God can't really use wimps. And you know, I don't care if you are so disabled that you can hardly move. It's what's up here that counts. How strong your mind is in Almighty God. You can be a demon slayer, an evil spirit slayer, if you can't move a hand in the name of Jesus Christ. So think about it. Be strong. Verse 7. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. In other words, there was no second time. I want to make that very clear. 8. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the children, the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole, until they were well. Okay. This is putting us right on along up into Passover here, 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. That's why it's called rolling, as I told you, you'll understand in the next chapter when the city came up. This is where all the sins were rolled away. All the captivity of Egypt rolled away. And as Christ died on that cross, shed his blood for you, it rolls away your sins today. When you repent and ask him to lead you and to guide you, and in Christian love, you decide to follow and do things his way. Choose the right lamb for yourself. Verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. 40 years, Passover to the day. On that night, they encamped. And they're here by Jericho. God always delivers. And that time of probation rolled away. There's a time coming again when it's going to happen. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be in that group that overcome, that follow our Heavenly Father, that have the victory over those that would come against God's Word, those that would try to take the word God out of our vocabulary, those that would try to misuse Christians and take advantage of them in mocking, making light of, or in their higher critical minds, which that's a good, you know, a higher critic is another word for stupidity. Okay. Ooh, boy, that'll upset some people. I'll say it again. It felt good. The higher critic is another word for stupidity. Okay. Because as far as I'm concerned, being a theologian, that anybody that does not believe the Word of God with all the proofs that there are in nature itself, simply walking around, looking at the land, at the ages, at science, and cannot accept God's Word are stupid. Okay? Absolutely without a clue. And hey, good riddance, we'll be rid of them, and that's it. But let's save as many as we can. You know, in their higher critical way, maybe we can get some to realize you're not even potty trained. It's amazing to me with higher education, as it is, that people in theology are zero. Know nothing at all of theology. It's to say our Father's Word. It's a simple story of a man and his family from chapter 1, Genesis, all the way through, of how God picked a people to bring Christ through to save all of his children everywhere. Okay, that's 40 years then, right to the day. They park at Gilgal, and they come back under the law by the circumcision at the Hill of Foreskins, in the city of Gilgal, meaning rolling, and he rolls all the sins of captivity in Egypt away from them. And Passover has indeed meant what it said. All that evil had to pass over, and they're home free, ready to roll. Verse 11, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, not manna, in other words. Unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Do you know what happened the next day after that? 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Now, it is true that that particular manna was taken away, but we were given a manna in its place, if you choose properly. You can read of it in the second chapter of Revelation in the 17th verse. God will give you a new white stone. One of the 12 in the circle? Well, not really. It's one stone, and that stone is Christ, the truth concerning Christ. But it's of the 12, those 12 stones passing the Jordan in memorial. And he gives you that stone that no one, and a new name that no one can understand unless they understand the mystery of God. And he feeds you manna from heaven. That's to say truth, knowledge, wisdom, whereby you can see and understand the mystery of God's plan. And all that mystery is the simple plan of salvation. The fact that there was an evil seed planted in the garden by Satan, not by God. And that wicked seed was the first murderer. And that generation has come on generation, umbilical cord to umbilical cord. It's still with us today. And Satan knows his own. And he knows how to work through them. And thus makes up his locust army, along with those that will be booted from heaven with him. How fascinating that you should know the truth and that wisdom, that you should choose real truth rather than being misguided. Yeah, there's manna today. It's the real truth from heaven. It's called the Word of God. It is the sword we use in these end times. And that sword, of course, is none other than truth itself. One more verse, please. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was at Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? That's pretty brave, because we're going to stop there. But do you know who this man was? It was the angel of God. The very presence of God right there. And what did he have in his hand? A biscuit? A little bit of manna? He had a sword. A mighty sword. When the angel of the Lord is present, it is a sin to angel worship. Joshua will worship this angel. Why? Because it's the angel of God. He's the commander of the heavenly host. And it is just like, do you know, in our great nation, in as much as our format comes from God's word, who is the commander in chief? The president, of course. Of our armies, the commander in chief. Then who is this commander in chief of the armies of Almighty God? The host means of heaven. It's God himself. He has a mighty hand. He's showing up. He's got a sword in it, and we're going to take Jericho. Don't miss it. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD.